Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'm thinking this morning about our need, probably our desire, I hope our desire to expand our faith, increase our faith. Scripture says in Hebrews that we must first believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so it's more than just saying, I think there's a God. That's not really faith. But faith is the belief that there is a God, but it's more than He's out there somewhere, that He has an effect on our lives. And that effect is a good effect. And that we can have that idea in our life, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle in those kind of areas, and knowing that God is in the events of my life, and to know that not only is He in them, but that He's a great God and He's able to make them all turn out well for me. Because in my human mind, in my human way of looking at things, they're not always that way. It's not hard for me to be in a place to where I say, oh, this is wonderful, thank the Lord, when everything is good. My family and I went to down to Edmond Thursday night and went to Cece's. And we was in there with a big plate of pizza in front of me. And I said, this is really nice. God's good to us. Jesus is good to us. Well, that's not hard to do. Feeling blessed about the situation. Eat too much pizza and get cramps in the middle of the night, though. And then start to have the same response. Well, Jesus is good to us. Well, He is good to us. And just because things are not always pleasant, there's where we need to expand our faith. Because God is in our lives, and God has the ability to make everything in our lives turn out well for us, and is good. But it's so hard to see that sometimes. It's very easy to have a sunny day where you're feeling well and saying, thank you, Jesus, for the good day. But then be up in the middle of the night with a little girl coughing, and she can't stop coughing, and the troubles of night, you know what night's like, and the terrors of night, and all the views of the enemy that starts coming, pressing in on your mind about the what ifs and those kind of things that come into your life. It's harder to say thank God for this episode. But it is an episode, and God is in those kind of things. And Lord, help our faith to believe that we have a God that's so interested in our life that He can take everything about our life and turn it into a wonderful experience for us if we'll only put our faith in God and realize that God is in it. Because it's not easy for the human mind to do that. Or it's not easy for my human mind to do it. So I'm going to first look at a very familiar scripture in Romans 8. We all know this one probably, or most of us do, Romans 8 and 28. It says, and we know. I've always looked at that scripture with that, because it starts, and we know, as an assumption as that we know. Well, that's what it says, and we know, so is that true? Well, I suppose to the folks that he was saying it to, himself included, because we know is included, self is included, we know. But do we know? Well, it's important that we do know, because we should know. And it should be a basis of our faith that, first of all, that we believe that God exists, because He does, and that we know that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which means that you can know that there is a God that doesn't, you don't get reward because you don't diligently seek. A part of the purpose that we have of and having faith in God. See, when I think of things like that, scriptural ideas and these beliefs and things like that, I want to know what the practical application of it is to my life. It's easy enough to say you have faith in God, but I want to know what that does. How am I supposed to be different from having faith in God than not having faith in God? We had in Sunday school this morning a thought about that exalt others higher than yourself. Well, that's I believe that that's scriptural, but I want to know, how do I respond differently than if I didn't esteem people? How does that apply to my life? What am I going to do for you or think about you in a way that I wouldn't if I didn't esteem you higher than myself? There must be some application in life. Well, there's some application in life in our faith. But that we're different about the things in life than I would be if I didn't have faith. So what would it be? This says, and we know. So I'm going to challenge you today. Do you know? Do you really believe? And do you apply that to the things that happen in life? Folks, those are things that happen in life. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I bring a lot of hardship on myself simply from being... Well, some people don't like the word, but stupid. Just stupid. I do. I mean, just simply from doing... dumb stuff. I think I told this up in Wisconsin. I think Sister Maria and Brother Earl was there. But years ago, I had a little Aspire. It was a little car. I think it's a Ford. But it's a little Aspire. It's a little hatchback car. And it's the only thing I had. So I needed to haul a 2x4. Or some 2x4s. But I think it was just a 2x4. And so I put it in on the dash. And I put it back. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with the hatch? But when I got back to the hatch, It looks like it'll close. I want to tell you that the distance between the windshield and the back hatch of an Aspire is somewhat short of a pre-cut 2x4. Because when I slammed the hatch, I put the 2x4 through the windshield. I caused myself trouble. I caused myself trouble and problems that happen. But even in the things that I'm responsible for and I cause... He didn't say that you cause it or you don't cause it. He said, we know. And we know what things? It says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Again, there is an occasion put to this, or there's something stuck to this. A caveat, if you will. All things don't work together for good for everybody. It's a select group of people, to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. If you're to here today and you're called, you love God and you're called according to His purpose, God's got a way to even take your foolishness and my foolishness, my mistakes, my ignorances, the things that happen in my life, and is able to make them to turn out to work together to good. They're not good. And you and I won't look at them and say they're good. I did not say it was good that I put the 2x4 through the windshield because I had to get a new windshield. I had to pay for it. I had to go through all the time that it took to do it. I don't think there was anything good about it, but there can be something good come from it. God's got the ability to do those. Well, one thing is I learned. I never done that again. So I don't know if that's good in itself, but God's able to do that. Lord, help us to expand our faith today into the realms that all things work together for good. There will be a good thing in it, and Lord, help us to be able to understand that and be able to put ourselves into it because, like I said, it's not hard when the sun's shining. It's a little difficult when the problems come. You look at the situation, big news, the Houston storm. When they started predicting over 50 inches of rain, have you ever had 50 inches of rain here in a matter of a few days? 50 inches of rain. They said they got more in a few hours down there than they got all year. A few hours. It was raining in one place. It was like, I heard, like 6 and 8 inches an hour, they was calling at certain points. It wasn't uncommon to have 3 and 4 inches an hour. We had a huge flood up home one time when it rained 5 inches overnight in about an 8 hour period. You're talking about 50 inches of rain and the flooding that went on, the damage, the loss of life that hurts the most. But folks, we have things that we are of this earth. We gather things. We have things. We live in homes that we decorate because we like. I mean, we do things. It's our homes. People lost their homes. They lost the heartache that goes along with those kind of things. The hurt that goes along with those things. I wouldn't say that it was good that the snowstorm come. Listen, I can try to be smarter about doing and not do dumb stuff, but I can't stop a hurricane that comes in and brings that in, and neither could those people do it. You cannot live in those kind of places, but I'm going to challenge you, where do you live that something don't happen? Well, you all probably won't get any hurricanes here in Ohio or in Oklahoma, but just wait for the next big F5 tornado to sweep up the valley. I mean, there's always something happens. But when we look at it, we say, "Am I just thrown to the wolves here? Am I just thrown to the chances of nature that it's going to wipe out my home or my family or whatever?" Not if you love God and called according to His purpose. And those things that we can see and look at, many times we have a big question mark in our minds about whether that was God or not. Our faith ought to go into the place to say that is God, and Lord, what are you want out of it, of my life? Lord, where are you going to make it come out better? Because my experience of 30 years of living for the Lord is, and I've had those questioning times. I've had the questioning times about, this is so dramatic. It's so hard. It's so intense. How can I say that anything good can come out of a situation? My young wife gets cancer and dying. How could that ever turn around to be good? With sicknesses, there are diseases or loss and all these things. How could that be good? How can it be good to be stuck beside the highway somewhere with your vehicle not running? How can it be good? How can it be good? God is able to make those things good. I remember one time Brother Jim White, I know some of you didn't know him, but he was a very precious brother in our congregation. His life was an inspiration. He had, as a young man, went off to World War II. He fought in the war. He was in one of the first waves to drop in Normandy on D-Day. He went into Holland. It's called the Bridge Too Far was the story wrote about it, where they tried to. He was wounded in battle. He had quite an experience of war. He come back. The Lord saved him. He lived a very faithful life. He was going to town one day, and a guy in front of him stopped real quick, and Brother Jim couldn't get his car stopped, and so he smashed into the back of this guy's car. How could it be good to smash into the back of somebody else's car? But Brother Jim testified that I had a wreck and I made a friend. He smashed into them. They got out. They got to talking. Brother Jim was a very pleasant man. He got to talking to him and witnessing to him. They invited he ran into their car and they invited him home for dinner. But that was the Lord had a purpose and a time and a space for Brother Jim to meet these people. So he used the car wreck to do it. But who's to say what God can or can't do? We need to have faith in God that what is happening now. There's another big hurricane bearing down on the part of the United States. Some of the people we know are going to be affected. But millions of people are going to be affected. And you can look and say, how could that be good? That is still God's storm. That is still God's things. We have a faith and confidence, and we pray regularly, Lord, save souls, save people. Lord, stir them up. Help them to realize that they're human. Help them to realize that they're not got everything in control. Well, here it is. Nobody can stop this one. You can debate on the immoralities of this world. You can do all those kind of things. You can say there's no God. You can do whatever. But just nobody's big enough to stop this thing coming. And it's going to touch us. It's going to touch hearts and lives. And God's got a way of changing it. God's got a way of out of those kind of things, He brings people together. Out of those kind of things, he stirs people's souls until they look and realize they need help from God. There's something there. Lord ought to help us. Every one of us ought to be willing that the Lord would help us. To be able to be in a place that the Lord could touch our lives and be able to make a difference. What if the Lord, we get in a place that the Lord tries to touch our lives, but we can't be touched to be made better. The things that the Lord wants to bring in our lives are to stir our hearts. So He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For we know. Look at another scripture in Job. Job, the fifth chapter, I think I want first. Job 5 and 7. I'll go with 6. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born to trouble. Another scripture says that man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Just a few days. Well, we know that's true. I mean, in comparison. Some have said of that scripture that was really a condemnation on Adam. Because of the time he wrote that, man's days was 67. And Adam got to live to be over 900 years old. And he's the one that messed up. Because after that, man that was born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Adam, look what you done. I don't know about that, but this scripture here says that man's born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now, obviously the very easy, simple definition of that is that sparks fly upward. And as surely as they do, is as surely as we'll have trouble. That's pretty simple. But he could have said, as surely as an apple falls to the ground. He could have said that. Man's full of trouble just like an apple falls to the ground, because surely it don't fall up. So there must be more to the scripture then. Well, there is more to the scripture. Because the idea is that there is an ascension. There's an ascension. Man has trouble. Sure he does. But God, as sure as sparks fly upward, the man is to fly upward from his trouble. God is there to help you and I to be better through our troubles, through the problems that we have. We are to become close. We're to have a closer relationship with God as surely as the sparks fly upward. They're always attending upward. Some of the definition of that scripture would be like a flame that tends upward. It does. It doesn't. Flames don't go back down. They burn up. The heat drives them up. The sparks fly up. And as surely as they do, the events of a good person, of a righteous man's life, is to lift him up. The problems, the troubles, the afflictions, the persecutions, all of these things historically have lifted the church to a higher place in the Lord. Lord, help us to expand our faith today that the problems that we have in life, if we'll give ourselves to them, folks, I know that we're not always have our mind there, but you can take an aggressive attitude or get upset or what. I mean, you can stub your toe. I mean, it hurts. And you can have a woe is me attitude about it. Or you can say, thank God for the that I would remember my mortality and things hurt. Lord, I need you. I need you to help me in these kind of places. We look at the situations of life. Most of us won't claim perfection. I hope none of us do in that sense, that there's no improvement. But the Lord wants to improve us by the things that come into our life. And what He's used to do that is trouble, is problems, is difficulties in life that will help you and I to realize where we're at, that our needs of God, when we get slack in our soul, God's got a remedy for that. There's a situation that comes in life. I don't know that I don't know whether to say God particularly plans everything or part of life that we have is that leads that way. And God is able to take that and change it and maneuver it around. There was a young man named Joseph that for all accounts was a young man that lived for the Lord. He wasn't an evil man. He wasn't a wicked man. He wasn't punished by God for the things that, for anything that he had done. And yet the circumstance of his life started continually going evil. One after another become wicked. I mean, he interprets dreams to his brother and his dad, and they get jealous over it. And I think his dad even said, "You're going to usurp yourself over me too?" But by one of his dreams, and he was just interpreting dreams. That's all he was doing. Wasn't doing anything wrong or evil. And what started befalling him was negative. Well, first of all, it's not nice to be not liked by your brother. They didn't like him. So you got to deal with that. That's negative. Then they actually get physical with him and throw him into a well. That's bad. That's bad. Then, well, at least they did spare his life. God spared his life. Well, we'll sell him as a slave. So they sold him into Egypt. That's bad. He gets down to Potiphar, and because he was a smart and good-looking young man, Potiphar got him, and he was used by him. And then his wife pulls Esther, and then what are you going to do? There you are again. Who would have believed the young man over the woman? Nobody. Now his reputation. Sometimes we even go through things. I want to be known as good. I want to be known as a Christian. And people are looking at me as I'm an evil person. They call Jesus Beelzebub. So it happens. And these events happen one after another. He ends up in prison. That's bad. The people, the guys in there, remember the story? The one that got out that should have had a word to help him out. What happened to him? Forgot about him. That's bad. But there come a time, in the fullness of time, that everything that God had intended started unraveling. It started coming out. And you remember the end of it where Joseph said to his brothers, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good." God saved the nation. He saved Israel and the descendants of Israel. He saved them all through tribulation, through troubles, through problems. We may pray for our family. I hope we do. We pray for our family. We pray for our children. Those with young children, maybe regularly pray, "Lord, help them to grow up to serve you." I do. I pray for my children that way. "Lord, help us of that. I don't know how to do it, Lord. I don't know how to get them to do that. But Lord, I'm going to give this into your hands that you would be able to manipulate and work in our lives so whatever our family needs, to be able to save their souls. Because I don't know how to, but Lord, you know how to deliver them out of there." That's where our faith increases. That's where we need to have faith in God. The troubles that come in life, we look at it and we say, "Oh, it's so hard to deliver us. Lord, help us." We have the right to do it. We should do it. But we also ought to have a faith that God is always right and He always is working toward our favor and good. It isn't evil in His mind. It is good to Him that He would be able to work and help us in life. Lord, help us. Would you rather live to be 100 years old and go to hell, or would you rather die today and go to heaven? Oh, I know if you're saying, "Boy, this is my last day, let me think about it." Most of us have a pat answer. "I'll take heaven." Right? "I'll take heaven about it." So we commit ourselves to the Lord. "Lord, you know best about our lives. Send what you have to send. Whatever you have to send, send it, and give me the faith to be able to take it in. Give me the faith to be able to see through my own humanity, my own carnalities, the physical. Help me to be able to see into the realms of faith, that knowing that you know best, Lord, and you will get us to heaven if we'll let you do it. In Job 23, oh, let's see. Nope, that won't work. That's Isaiah. Job 23 and 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. You know, that sounds pretty bad, don't it? You ever been in a place like that in your experience, to where, Lord, where are you? It seems like my world is falling down around me. It seems like the things that I thought was there, the securities, all those, and everything is falling down around me, and you can't see the Lord. There is an experience to where the Lord does that. I think there's an experience to where the Lord gets and says, come on. Come on. Follow me by faith. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he has tried me, I come forth as gold. Now, we've all heard this before, but this is the analogy that it comes from right here. What he was saying was, gold cannot be destroyed by fire, by pressures. It only makes it purer. But it takes heat to do it. It takes a lot of force, oppressors, but it's made better. And he looked at his life and said, I am a righteous man. I do love the Lord. And the only thing that can happen through this trial is that I love him more. I love righteousness, and the only thing that can happen through this severe trial is to love righteousness more. I cannot be destroyed by the heat and the fire of this trial. The only thing that it can do is make me shine brighter. That doesn't happen to everybody, folks. That happens to them that love God and call according to purpose, that's willing to take the persecutions and the troubles and the adversities and those things in life, and have faith in God to go through them, and they will cause a shine to come out. He said, I looked around and couldn't find God, but he knows the way that I take. And after he's tried me, after God gets through with me, working with me, my faith in him, then he's going to make me brighter than I've ever been before, more confident in God than I've ever been before. God's going to work in my life in places to where I need help with it. And he's going to bring that out. He's going to work it to the surface till it can be dealt with. Folks, listen. There's things in our lives many times that's down in there that causes us to be dysfunctional in our families, in our worlds, in our congregations. There's things in there that God wants to get out of there, and there's one way of doing it, and that's putting the heat to it, putting the pressure to it, causing it to come out to where we're at a point to saying, Lord, I need help with this. I'm at the point. I need help. What are you trying to say to me? And to where we can listen to the Lord. His purposes is good, folks. None of it's bad. Lord, help our faith. When bad things happen, God is working in our lives. So there's a place to where we can say, thank you, Lord, for the trials that we're going through. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Without them, you'll have to stay in your situation. There's no other way. But Job, recognizing it, says, I'm going to come forth as gold. Another scripture, 1 Peter. When Jesus was here on this earth, he helped people with their troubles, didn't he? Troubles, sicknesses. He helped the poor. He fed the hungry. He calmed the storms. Caused people that couldn't walk to walk and people that couldn't see to see. He even made some people some wine when they run out, helping in troubles. God's a helper in troubles. He's our help in the time of troubles. Lord, help our faith be able to get a hold of the one that's going to help us in troubles. But we want to go more than a push button escape. Got a button on my computer. It's an escape button. Time to get out of here. Been here long enough. Time to get out of here. I think we like to have an escape button on our lives, on the difficulties of our life. Okay, Lord, I'm out of here. Gone. I'm going to escape out of this one. The Lord's going to hold the escape button for our lives, okay? He'll push the button for us. He'll let us out when it's time to get out. If we start running out of there, Lord, help our faith. Because I want to tell you something about old Marty Clevenger. That old escape button comes quick in my mind. It don't take much at all for me to be reaching for it. You give me anything out of it, I'm going to say, I'm out of this. I don't deal with it. I'm going to run. I'm going to get out of here. But you know what? The Lord has helped me. And it's called patience. Tribulation worketh patience. You know any other scriptural way to get more patience? Boy, I need more patience. And a lot of people say, well, Lord, help me to be more patient. Do you know what you're really saying when you say that? Lord, help me to be more patient. Well, you're going to go to bed and you're going to wake up the next morning more patient, right? Because the Lord is wonderful. That's the way he does. No, that's not what he does. Well, I'm going to see the flash of lightning and hear the roar of thunder, and I'm going to be made different. I'm going to be a patient individual. Be able to put up with people. Able to be patient with my children. Patient with my wife. Patient on the job. I'm just be patient because the lightning is struck. No. It's going to be because God is going to put us into a place, and there's not going to be a thing you can do about it. You know, up home when the electric goes off, we get impatient. I got so impatient, I bought me a generator. Fix it some way. You want the electric to come back on. You've got things to do. You've got things. So there's all this stuff that the electric comes on. They were saying that from this storm, they're predicting weeks, if not months, people will be out of electric. And it was 95 degrees down there at 9 o'clock in the morning when they were saying that. And they were saying, oh, hey, it just starts after this thing sweeps through. Going to have to go back there. You're going to be in very, very humid, hot conditions without electric for a long time. In your patience, possessing your souls. You know, we're so spoiled in this country that people think they're owed everything. People think they're owed everything, that if you don't give it to me right now, if I don't have everything that I need, it's somebody else's fault and all these things. The Lord may suggest that it's different than that. Be thankful. In the last days, people would be unholy and they'll be unthankful. Lord, help us to be thankful. We live in a nation that's not very thankful to God for what He's done. Oh, this is a problem. That's a problem. You did this. This is that. We don't have this. We don't have this. Lord, help us. More food than you can eat. More clothes than you can wear. The poorest of people have a two-car garage and a satellite. And they're called poor. And they're unthankful, hollering for more. And you're owed this. And Lord, help us. And we're a nation. But you know what? We can start down the same line of having and having and having. We're so used to we just got everything that we want that sometimes the Lord's going to speak to us in a way that we can get our attention and understand. By faith, we ought to realize that God is working in our lives, in all of our lives. Call everything providence. Sometimes trouble just is everywhere. Before we left home, it felt like the yard needed mowed, some things need done, and went out and started on one thing. It was with my old truck for one thing. Pulled up and got out of my truck and looked, and the antifreeze was just a pouring out the front end of the truck. And I thought, oh, that stops that job. So I stopped that one, went to the mower and went to crank the mower and tried to get the mower to start. The mower won't start, and tried to jump it and the starter's out. And I said, oh, there you go. I told Dries, Dries, go get the push mower. You know, mow this little stretch over there. And he went over there and fired it up, and a little bit of it stopped. And he came over and said, Dad, Will fell off the mower. Why, Mom? I'm sorry. What are you going to do? One thing after another. One trouble after another. You know, trouble born to man. It's like, But it can either get us in a bad attitude and way, or the sparks can fly upward. You know what? My initial response sometimes is when is this all going to end? Then the response comes, look at what we have. I have a riding lawnmower, or the starter couldn't go out of it. You realize that? I got a push mower, or the wheel couldn't fall off of it. I have a truck, or the antifreeze couldn't run out of it. Without those things, folks, I'd be free, right? It's a fact. We're blessed. I don't look and say thank you for everything that we have. Thank you for salvation. What do these things matter? Lord, help us to extend our faith into those kind of realms, because the Lord is working on our behalf. He wants to help us to look beyond this old natural world. You know what? The other day I bought something, and I know I paid $2.50 for it, and I had change back of a dollar and something. And I put the change in my pocket, and I never found those $4 bills. You know, that's been on my mind ever since that. That's been what? That's been days ago. And I got up this morning saying, what happened to that $4? I think I might have left it on the counter there. I don't know. $4. You know, $4 is not really that much these days to lose your peso for. But I'm still thinking, where's that $4? How could I have been so ignorant? What did I do with that $4? Then I remember the one that has a cattle on 1,000 hills. I remember the one that gave me the $4 to start with. And the Lord, it don't really matter much, does it? Lord, help us today. This scripture in 1 Peter. I'll go back to 8, pick up the whole thought. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Let me pick up the thought that he's saying that whether you're in the world or you're a child of God, you're going to face the same troubles. I'm not facing troubles because I'm saved. Some of them are that way. But the world has troubles. If you was down in Miami right now, you'd have the same trouble the world has. You'd be in a hurricane. It's the same troubles, and that's what he's saying here. It's accomplished the same things as accomplished all of them, but there's a difference to those that love God. Because God can take every one of those and make the sparks fly upward. God can make us better at the end of every event that happens in our lives. God can make us stronger. God can make us better as a person and make us shine more in his kingdom because of it. So, he says, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Can I not just get the perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you without the suffering? I want to try to go around this one and just come up with this perfect idea, this established and strengthened and settled. But it don't happen that way. He says, after you've suffered a while, how long's a while? It's a period of time determined by God. A while. You'll go through periods of times. Now, some of you in here, a good bit of you, or some of you in here older than I am, a lot of you younger than me. So to the ones that's younger than me, I'm going to tell you, your time's coming. And to those that's older than me, you already know where I'm going. And it's changing in my life. It's changing. I see the thing. These are, for one thing, this is so aggravating. I have to pull these out. The only thing is, they're a blessing. This is an aggravating blessing. It's aggravating to have them, but a blessing to use them. I don't know, but you have to have them. You got to keep from breaking them. I have to stick them in these and put them in a pocket. Then I have to lose them. Then I'm trying to put a tie my fishing blurs on, and I can't see. And you know what? Thank God. Not everybody gets to limp till their eyes go bad. Thank God for what He's doing. But I can feel it coming in my body. I can feel the change. My hair's falling out. I can't hear very well. I can't see very well. All the faculties are starting to change and all those things. Thank God this can be a time that God can make me better. More dependent on God is not a worse thing. It's a better thing. And I'm more dependent on the Lord. I recognize where I'm headed, where this body's headed. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord don't allow people in this life to go down, 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 until the only thing they have left is heaven. To cut them loose from this old world. Not much left in this old world. Don't feel good. Remember my grandmother, my dear old grandmother, she's 79. She told me, she said, "Marty, I am so tired. I'm ready to go home and be with Jesus." And she meant it. Wasn't no eyes left now. I can't hardly walk. I can't hear. I can't see. All that about gone. I'm so tired. I can't do anything. Well, I'm ready to go to be with Jesus, where it's a better place. God has a way of working, folks, in all of our lives, in every episode of our lives, in the events of our lives. And what you're going through today and what you're facing today and going through is tailor-made, if you love God, tailor-made for you. It's made, it's there to make you shine. You don't have to. You can fight it, shun it. You can avoid it. You can try to do everything you can. But it's designed to make you shine. It's designed to get our, break our minds away from the worldly things more and have it strongly on the heavenly things, and to make us have a faith and a confidence in God that we can go through this, stand the test of times with. And God knows how to do it. I know it a couple of different times in my life that I had major events in my life. And to me, major events. It was times that I was drifting away from the Lord. Well, I wasn't out doing bad things. I wasn't going forward. I was just stagnated in my experience. And the Lord caused things to happen that just showed me how insignificant I was and got me back. I said, "Lord, I need you to help me to be back in that place." And those events was providence of God to help me in my life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.